Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. That was a fast start, huh, Steve?
Super fast.
Steve, you've been sick, so I think I've had to have Eric Johansson or somebody fill in for you. What is going on with you?
Well, it's, some kind of like flu sort of thing that just got into my lungs and just coughing and had no voice for a few weeks.
I thought you were actually going to use the word that's never been used on No Compromise Radio.
Never.
And that is the word floozy. I had the floozy.
I had the floozy.
What is a floozy? Kind of like a dim-witted person?
No, it's actually, a woman of slightly ill repute.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, if you want to know anything sketchy, you come to me. Yeah.
Did you have a code, a police code for a floozy? There's a floozy that has a 1099 or something?
No, we didn't have a code like that. No.
Why do I think of you, Steve, when I watch on YouTube channel the Las Vegas jail show where they book people into jail and stuff there?
I have no idea. I mean, whenever I see a show like, you know, MSNBC will sometimes run these in custody shows and I'll watch them and I'm just like, I almost have to blindfold myself. I can't take it because of the tactics and everything they use.
I noticed they had that spit deal and that goes over their face if they're spitting at the officers.
Oh, the spit shield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, we didn't have that kind of contraption. So, you know, we would resort to other means.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I got you. That's why you're retired now.
It's true.
Steve, I don't know when this show is going to air, but Shepherd's Conference is coming up pretty soon. And are you prepared to have the Tuesday Guy t-shirt on and all that?
Oh, yeah. You know, sure. In fact, I'm going to go wear that and just walk up right up to MacArthur and go, "Hey, what do you think about this?"
Well, it probably gets you to a chapel and speak there probably sooner than I've ever been asked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can just see that. Hey, Tuesday Guy, why don't you come in and regale us with your wit and wisdom?
I was thinking about having, you know, they have the shoe shine area, the coffee area, the outside iPod charging area. Mm-hmm, they have all those special areas, sandwich bar area, ice cream sandwich area.
The Q&A ask an expert area.
We're going to have a NoCo booth area.
Oh, excellent.
Uh-huh. We're going to do that next year.
The only problem will be, you know, like the profs will be over there for the ask an expert area and they'll have like one or two guys in line. And then the NoCo area will have like dozens of guys lined up. And
see, they would have more students at Master Seminary if they would somehow bow to the NoCo.
And we say that with all humility.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if you are going to the Shepherd's Conference, Steve and I should be there, Lord willing. And I'll be busy with all the higher ups. Steve is going to be talking to the hoi polloi this time.
As usual.
So, yeah. You'll be by the water station.
You'll be having the sushi. I'll be having the french fries. It's the same old.
And in this particular case, that works out well because I like sushi and you like french fries.
So there we go.
Okay. Tell me what else is happening with you. Is it public knowledge? I know there's a church that's asked you to come to a conference. Can you talk about that now or you just it needs to be fully developed first?
Well, I'm you know, I haven't signed a contract or anything for it.
Well, I'll send you to my agent.
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking at a conference at the Church of the Cross in Northern California there in October. So
that's off Highway 49, if I believe.
My favorite part is it's near Volcano, Volcano, California, which I never knew existed.
When I flew into that conference several years ago, flew into San Fran and then crossed the bay or wherever. And then I think it was a couple hour drive after that in through what looked like a, would be a great place to film Westerns and John Wayne shows and Yul Brynner in Westworld. And in fact, they do film Westerns there.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And
Apache
and
Kid or something.
You also drive through Waterloo, California. And I think it's like, I don't remember what the population is, but I think it was like 127 or something like.
I think that's where ABBA got the song Waterloo.
Waterloo, yeah, uh-huh, probably. Yeah.
All right. Steve, many times we're very serious on the show, but today I have
when?
A little.
When does that happen?
I have a little postcard size advertisement sent to the church so that we might buy things from said ministry and use them here at the church.
Well, you know, we're always on the lookout for updated materials,
yep.
You know.
Yeah, kind of. I even know the word BOLO, that acronym BOLO.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
What does it mean?
I've heard you be on the lowdown out.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. So here's what we have. And I thought in light of my summer in California, you need some sermons to preach while I'm gone.
Absolutely.
And, you know, some pastors are very heavy-handed, and you must preach this when I'm gone, or mm-hmm, you can't touch that subject. Stay away from reprobation and election. Those are my topics.
Can't touch it.
Uh-huh. So I don't want to be that heavy-handed, but these are the sermons you have to preach this summer.
Oh, cool.
This is actually true. This is from RIGHT at therightpaper.org. So therightpaper.org. And these are things given to ministers so we might know what to preach. And it's called Truths That You Weren't Taught. The Right Papers, Politically Uncorrect But Biblical Writings. Do you need maybe some spell checks on that?
Yeah, probably Biblical.
What's Biblical?
I'm not really
like
sure.
Is that like Bibsac?
Politically uncorrect.
By the way, the Detroit Baptist Seminary Journal rocks. Mm-hmm. It's great. I think it's only online now. And Bibsac from DTS is awful. Awful Knoffel.
Sad times.
I know. So here, Truths You Weren't Taught. These are, I think, are meant to get the people in the congregation. So the first one is number four. God the divorcee, will he remarry?
God the divorcee, will he remarry?
Yeah, I guess it's Hosea. Okay.
That's a kind of a catchy topic or title. I don't know if I'd title it quite like that. So.
Okay. How about number seven? It takes two to tango and two for deception.
Mm-hmm.
That is so catchy. I mean, we're always looking for good sermon titles, and you know this is just basically free for
well,
us.
Well, hey, that is right, right? You uh-huh. can't you can't be deceived unless somebody's trying to deceive you, and you can't deceive someone unless there's somebody for you to deceive.
Mm-hmm. So, see how that works?
Yeah.
In all honesty or sincerity, Steve, when you think of sermon titles, I mean, is it like an afterthought? Do you spend a lot of time? Do you do that first in your study? How does that all work out? Because I'm not really big on sermon titles unless they just kind of come to me.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I am. Usually it's like, okay, I first have to figure out what the sermon's about, and then I try to boil it down to a title that somehow relates to the actual text. And it's not always very easy.
Uh-huh. I think Doug Padgett did that too in his Emergent Church preaching book. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, I skipped that book.
Ephesians 2:1-3 talks about being dead in trespasses and sins. And I remember one guy preached that passage with a title that is dated because it has a movie title for the sermon title, but I still thought it was clever, and it was Natural Born Killers.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How about John 3 with Nicodemus and Jesus, Nick at Night?
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah. Those are the only two that I really like, those two sermon titles. So let's see what else we have here. How about number 13? Three sermons they will hate but love you for in eternity.
See, I listen to that and I just think, well, that's kind of dopey, because if they hate them, then they won't love them in eternity. And if they love them in eternity, then they didn't hate them in the first place.
How about number 12, biblical hate? Some kind of Westboro church or some hate.
Biblical hate. Well, you know, it's okay for us to hate what God hates.
All right.
False teachers.
That's true. You know, yeah. Six things the Lord hates. Yes, even seven.
Yeah.
I love that. Proverbs 6. What's the seventh one? I think it has to do with slander and gossip, don't you?
Yeah.
It does. All right, how about number 14, Steve? Why don't you read that? Because I know, I think you're like a fourth degree separationist. Is that true?
Well, I don't associate with those who don't associate with those who don't associate with those who don't associate with.
Because it takes two, like with deception, for separation.
Yeah.
Because how could you separate from yourself?
You can't. It's really hard. Uh-huh. You know, unless you're just really so angry with I don't even know
well,
how
well, maybe
works.
With the false bifurcation of the old nature, new nature caught within the one body, and now it's like which one.
Or if you're a literalist, you know, if your hand causes you to stumble.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That would be biblical separation.
That's right. So but what, shunning. How do
biblical
we shun
shunning. Yeah, biblical yeah. shunning, a godly practice. Is your church practicing biblical shunning? If not, flee that church.
I know. Well, I've noticed that even if I go speak someplace and somebody doesn't like the people that I'm, you know, with and speaking, how can you associate with them and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, fourth degree separation. Yeah. People get kind of fundy about that sort of thing.
Steve, several years ago, had Dr. Danny Aiken as a professor at Southern Seminary before he became the president at Southeastern. And I really like Danny Aiken. He's helped me a lot, and I think I'm a better preacher because of Dr. Aiken's influence.
But?
No buts. He spoke, did some video for, I don't know, some secular cause, and everybody was up in arms about it. And when I posted online the preface to Sexual Fidelity, the book that Aiken wrote the preface to, then they're like – wanting to shun me because they didn't like what Dr. Aiken said or did one time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you had some heretic doing the endorsement
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, and then people wrote to Brannon House because I'm on Worldview Weekend. We are on Worldview Weekend. How could then Brannon have Mike, who then had Danny, who then talked to OpenSeasons.org, whatever the place was called?
What's love got to do with it?
I think we should be shunned. How about 11, the biblical lie list. What's the biblical lie list? How would that be a good sermon title? How would that pack them in?
The biblical lie list, all the lies of the Bible. Is that one of those Lockyer books?
Now that is good. All the lies in the Bible. Now the Bible does record lies.
Sure.
Right back in Genesis chapter 3. Can you imagine the first lie in the Bible is often repeated and has to do with judgment of God. God's really not going to judge you, Satan says to Eve and to Adam. And Adam should have just picked up the hoe that he used for gardening and chopped off the head of that serpent.
That would have been a time, right? Mm-hmm. That would have been really something. Of course, then again, what would the first death have meant? You know, so that would have been that's a whole nother branch of theoretical theology.
I know. And we would have then said, praise Adam, from whom all blessings flow.
But we don't sing that.
I know. I don't sing at all. Can't you tell? What about if we had a sermon according to the rightpaper.org, abortions, sacrifices to Baal?
I actually don't have a problem with that one. Uh-huh. I actually like that one because that's basically the idea. When you have an abortion, while you may not put your baby on the altar of Baal directly, it's the same basic concept. Satan, you know, in some sense has had a victory there.
I know. Learn what the seminary would not teach you and what isn't politically correct but is biblically correct. Email us at therightpaper.org to receive your free right papers.
Almost everything that's biblically correct is not politically correct.
I know. Steve, number 3. It's got a lowercase f, and then it's got uppercase A-C-T-S, all uppercase. Mm-hmm. Facts 238 from Acts 238. Wet behind the ears.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you.
For the forgiveness of your sins.
Well, obviously, they're paedo-baptists. They just dab a little water behind the ears.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Wet behind the ears.
Do you ever pull up those old commercials on YouTube, you know, Brill Cream, a little dabble, do you?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I let the girls watch those so they know what I watched when I was a kid.
So they can relate to your 60s and 70s growing up?
What's the banana splits deal?
We're the Banana Splits.
Fred Butler would know that. Fred's, I think, memorized every one of the shows. I think it used to be Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, it was.
Fred Hanna-Barbera. I think it was his uncle.
Shout out to Fred.
Totally. Now, this one will take us to a serious conversation, but it's called Truth That You Weren't Taught, Counseling a Man's Wife. Now, is that like Jezebel kind of thing or something?
Well, I think you can counsel your own wife.
Yeah, counseling a man's wife. Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. I talked about this in discipleship last night. How about men that counsel women alone?
Play with fire. I mean, they're just playing with fire. It all sorts of things, allegations can come up or actual situations. You know, I mean, it's pretty hard to try to resolve somebody's problems alone in a vacuum and not have some sort of empathy or, you know, possibly inappropriately intimate emotional relationship start to develop. So, yeah, that would be a very bad practice to get into.
Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge younger men, Titus chapter 2, to be self-controlled, etc. I love the paradigm there. The ladies counsel the ladies and the men counsel the men.
That is the ideal situation. And I mean, there are occasions where maybe I'll meet with a wife, but I'll meet with her with my wife, you know, or her husband, one or the other, or maybe both, so that we can address the situation. But as soon as is possible, I know you agree with this, you know, I would want my wife or somebody else, some other mature lady in the congregation, to be counseling her and teaching her how to do exactly those things. Because, you know, typically people want one of two things when they come in for counseling. They either have a problem that they need to get fixed, you know, a little tweak in their lives, or they want to, you know, plumb the depths of their life and, you know, kind of get at the root problems. You know, I never had a close relationship with my father, and my mother was very abusive and, you know, all these kind of things. So, yeah, and you just wind up going, okay, so what are we going to do here, you know?
Steve, in the old days, I would counsel a lady alone, but the door would be open, mm-hmm. right? Secretary would be down the hall or whatever, you'd be next door. But I don't do that anymore. There was nothing wrong with having the door open and having you guys here. It's better than meeting alone. But I just now ask him or I ask you or something like that because I just don't need – I mean, there are other people, Romans 15, who are competent to counsel, who are adequate to be able to give admonition. And after you've been around for a while, you know, I just don't come across probably sometimes the way a lady would or this, that, or the other. I mean, I just don't want to counsel alone ever again. And
it's a no-brainer.
Oh, see, I've got the predictive pen here that Steve just saw. Should we counsel women alone and then – if you live by the pen, you might die by the pen. There are small parts not suitable for children under 3. So here's predict-a-pen. If you're lucky. No brainer. If you're lucky. It's unclear, ask again. See, we have occult people who listen to Noco. And they
send us stuff.
Yeah. Steve, in the last week, someone that I know in gospel ministry, pastor, was found out. Counseling a lady, there's attachments that grow. I mean, think about it. The pastor's probably thinking about how to be a pastor. He's empathetic. He's kind. He prays with a lady, and she's probably in there for marital problems, and her husband's not kind, empathetic, doesn't pray, and doesn't read the Bible, and all of a sudden you're sitting there sharing these intimate details. That's just a bad recipe.
Sure, because all of a sudden she sees in you everything she doesn't see in her husband, and she's like, hey, I like that guy. Problems.
Bad. When pastors fall, they're restored into fellowship, but not leadership. How does that all work?
How does it work? Well, it's pretty brutal. I mean, because for anybody else, you know, they can stumble and fall and then eventually be restored. I mean, it wouldn't be pretty in any case, but with a pastor, it's pretty much one and done. So you don't get another shot at it.
Steve, as I think about restoring people into the church, not leadership, but in the church, because after all, the man who commits adultery, who is a pastor, is no longer above reproach. The accusations do stick. He's no longer a one-woman man because he would be more than that. He doesn't have a good reputation with those outside the church. But how do we restore him into fellowship? I mean, I'm thinking about active and passive obedience of Christ and then seeing the man in this particular case without the stigma of the way I identify you the rest of your entire life on earth as you're the adulterer and you get blown out of ministry. I would want in my heart to try to remove him from ministry and then interact with him as he is a forgiven sinner. How do I work through that? That's got to be hard, but necessary.
Well, let's just kind of shift the focus a little bit. If you just think about your interaction with your wife or your kids or anyone else, you know, do you just focus on the times that they sin against you and just kind of look at them that same way? And I'd say you have to take the same approach with that pastor. You know, you just have to go, I can't focus on what he's done. I just have to think this is a soul. This is somebody who now, has asked for forgiveness and has done what we've asked them to do. And we're not going to restore him to a position of leadership, but I can't treat him any differently than I treat anybody else because God doesn't treat him any differently than he does anybody else. And
see, that should be a real truth that should be taught. How to love sinful people in the local church and not be hypocritical or not think you're above it. Or that's the first thing I thought of when I heard about this pastor. I thought nobody is above sin and getting blown out of ministry. I mean, I'd rather die than have it happen. But how do I then relate to this man? I know him. I know his wife, the church. What do you do? And if you really are a Christian, your identity is not adulterer. Your identity is you're in Christ, and I want to see that person as the Lord would see that person, but obviously remove him from leadership.
Yeah, I don't know what else there is to say about it other than to say that we have to take heed, we have to be careful lest we fall also. But it would be hypocritical to look at anyone in any sin and say, well, I could never do that. Because what is it? It's the restraining grace of God that keeps us from sinning worse than we already do.
Mm. So true. When I look at the passage in Galatians 5 with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc., that attitude fruit, what we often forget is chapter 6 gives us the action fruit. And that is if somebody's caught in a transgression, the spiritual ones should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, watching yourself lest you too be tempted, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the way we need to talk to these folks and deal with them for any particular sin.
That's right.
I think from now on, if I counsel men and they've got some problem, let's say it's pornography or something else, and they're wanting to work through it and they're repentant and confessing and sorry for their sins, I'm going to tell them, by the way, when I see you on Sunday, I'm going to see you as another brother in Christ worshiping the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to see you as the guy hovering over the computer pixels at night sinning.
And that's as it should be. I mean, again, like any other sin, we need to not have special categories where we just go, I can't forget that. I can't put that behind you. You know, that's too bad.
Steve, you and I regularly, and even I think it played last week or so, about forgiveness and forgiving other people. You know, we are forgiven much, but then it's hard for us to forgive other people when they sin against us. And if I have to think of you and one of your rightfully so hobby horses, it's forgiveness. If you've been granted forgiveness, you just have to forgive other people.
Well, it is a hobby horse because I've said this many times and I'll just say it again. I think that probably the biggest weakness of Christians today, most of the Christians I talk to, is a faulty understanding of forgiveness. They love to be forgiven. They're not so big on the I forgive you part and what that really actually means, letting go of any anger, any kind of angst, or any kind of recriminations against the other person.
Mike Abendroth here with Steve Cooley. If you've got other suggestions for us about truths that you weren't taught that should be taught, we would love to hear from you. And that's info@nocompromiseradio.com.
Just don't feel like you have to put it on a 3x5 card and slip it under our door.
Make sure you have the spell check on there, because you don't want to have things that are unbiblical and make them biblical.
Amen.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.